This episode of Football 301, Charles McDonald, Mr. Four Verts, joins me to preview week five, a deep slate of games that we get lost in the sauce on. We got Bucks going to Seattle to take on the Seahawks. We got Commanders and Chargers. We got Chiefs, Jags. Then we got a special little version of our Haas fight of the week. Very fun show, plus Hail Marys at the end. See you guys in a sec. Hello and welcome to Football 301. I am your host, Nate Tice. Week five is here and we are going to be previewing it today. We got lost in the sauce. We also got a little special version of Haas Five of the Week that I don't want to spoil too much. But to help me do that, and the guy that also I did a mock draft with this week that we just That's want to scratch right. every part of our football brain, my guy, Mr. Four Verts, Yahoo's own, Charles McDonald. How you doing today, Chuck?
That's right. We did that to scratch our football brain. We just love mock drafts this time of year.
That's where, it.
People who root for teams that pick in the top 10 every year say my team would never do anything stupid, you know. So, well, we're getting there early this year. We're getting there real early.
Yeah, yeah. Like when the Chargers fans got mad at us for giving them an offensive lineman, and then 6 months later they took Joe Alt. Told you. Yeah. Told you what Harbaugh's going to do. Mock draft was pretty fun. So make sure to check that out. It was interesting to be like, oh, yeah, the Ravens have a top 10 pick right now. Yeah. If the season were to end today. Here's Peter Woods. Hope you like him. But some now, interesting quarterbacks
one,
in there.
To be honest with you.
I think they could. Like tomorrow. I think they could use a few defensive linemen in the draft from this class. But we are going to be previewing week five today, a great gauntlet of games. I mean, just at every time slot too. So that's going to be a ton of fun to get lost in the sauce in. But before we do that, check out the Yahoo Sports Network. Our brand new streaming TV channel, the Yahoo Sports Network, is available to stream on leading fast services or on yahoosports.tv. Okay, it's time to get lost in the sauce. This is where we deep dive on our three favorite games of the week. And we actually had like a few to choose from. We had more than three that we could that made the short list, which is always fun. But we're going to start with Bucks at Seahawks, a very good NFC battle between some winning teams, both 3-1. The Seahawks are 3.5-point favorites. They are hosting at CenturyLink Field. Is that what it is still? And I know it's next to formerly Safeco Field, which is now T-Mobile Stadium. Lumen Field. I knew it wasn't CenturyLink. I knew it was Lumen. Thank you, Producer Stone, who is a Seattle fan. So also a great uniform battle. That's a great shout out as well. We'll start when the Bucks have the ball. A lot of injuries. I was looking this up. We got DeMarcus Lawrence. Did not participate in practice. Julian Love did not participate. Devin Witherspoon did not participate. We were recording this on Thursday, so that was Wednesday practices. A lot of injuries on the Bucs side as well. Of course, Mike Evans is out. Bucky Irving is now out. Jamal Dean did not participate. Greg Gaines did not participate. Christian Eysine did not participate. Baker Mayfield did not participate in practice. Sterling Shepard, Tyke Smith. So the NFL season, the war of attrition has started, but this is still should Good be God. A fun battle. Yeah, I know, right? I was looking at it. I was like, I know Bucky's out. Who else is out? Whoa! But when the Bucks have the balls against this very, very good Seahawks defense, Charles, what are you focusing on?
I think it's probably still safe to assume Baker plays on Sunday. I haven't seen anything to say like he would miss this week. So I think the key I think for Tampa Bay is just kind of keeping Baker out of spots where he kind of has to carry the load. Because I think we've seen sometimes over the past few weeks when the supporting cast isn't there, or offensive linemen are hurt and they struggle to run the ball, and it kind of becomes isolated on him. It's not always great. I mean, even last week against Philly, even they got to come back for a little bit in the second half and in the fourth quarter. He still did throw that interception at the end. That was just abysmal, and you know, someone with his experience level shouldn't be making that throw. So I'm a little concerned if they get in the bad spots, because you have one of the worst rushing offenses in the league against probably the best rush defense in the league. So that just seems like a spot where they could really get beat up, and you find yourself in third and long situations without Mike Evans. And I know Emeka Buka has had a sensational start to his career this season, but what that Seattle defense can throw on you if you get stuck in these third and long packages, it can be tough. So I just want to see if they can figure out a way to kind of give Baker some support throughout the game if it's not going to be the rushing attack, because if not, I think they're going to have a pretty tough time on Sunday.
Yeah, we have to start with the Seahawks defense. And it's like, if the Bucs offense was like fully healthy, it's like, oh yeah, this is a lot more juicy. The Bucs offense just feels more like fine. Like, it's just like, it's okay. The run game has been pretty rough, actually, to start the year. And you have to give the caveat, the O-line's been battered, but still, even that, it's just kind of, just hasn't been what it was last year. They're 27th in rushing success rate. They only have 4 explosive runs on design runs. 30.2% rushing success rate, which is like, that you got to get to 40 to be like a real kind of win a playoff team or playoff game type of team. And and passing the ball, you're like, okay, so Mike Evans is out, Chris Godwin finally came back, but Buka's been in there. All right, so how have they been passing? And Baker's 20th in passing success rate. Okay, but that's not really Baker's game. He's a high wire act. Like, he wants to go for the big plays. And they're top 10 explosive passes. They're actually 5th in EPA per drop back on early downs. And that kind of just speaks to like, oh, I'm sorry, they're 8th. They're 5th. I'm sorry. They're 5th in EPA per drop back on early downs, 8th overall. And that's kind of how it feels. It's like, that's hard to live that way. Like, you can live that way passing game wise and be super explosive, take sacks sometimes, maybe will be inconsistent if your run game can throw the jab and kind of keep you afloat if that's not cooking for you. So this is just a scary formula, because pressured Baker can do some bad things. And now going against a Seahawks defense that, even if DeMarcus Lawrence is banged up, or they still got a lot of guys up front that they could throw at you, that no matter what, they're going to have an advantage up front on Sunday. Even with Tristan Wirfs out there, even with Graham Barton playing center, like, the Seahawks can just go against the Bucs right side and just go, all right, we got this guy, we got this guy, we got this guy. They all come. We got Derek Hall. We got different guys that we can just throw at you. And they're 1st in DVOA on defense, 2nd against the pass, 3rd against the run. It's kind of like, this is a tougher matchup for the Bucs offense than maybe I would have expected a couple of weeks ago. And I'm very curious how they navigate it. Anything else on this side of the ball? It's really, I mean, Rashad White has been playing a lot better this year. I was talking with Matt the other day, but having Bucky would be really nice as well. I like Rashad White. He's been more consistent. He's being more patient on runs. So this might be an okay game for him still, but it's just, this is a very tough matchup for the Bucs offense.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'm interested to see how Rashad White manages the heavier workload this week, because, man, some these Bucky carries, they haven't really been getting the Bucs very far this season. Maybe this is a little shakeup that they need to try and get that run game going, because they're bottom of the league in terms of rushing the ball and just about every stat that you look at. So that really doesn't bode well going against the front 7 that's this good. It's like, you know, it's like the coughing baby versus hydrogen bomb meme going into this game. So, I'm really just curious to see like what answers the offensive coordinator has, because this is this is where we really got to use your noggin, I think, if they're going to get in the end zone.
Josh Grizzard? It just feels like like an alias, man. I don't know why.
It doesn't. I mean, doesn't
everybody going in the season. It doesn't. No offense, Josh. Sorry. But anything going into the year, the ones that were like touting him up or like, you know, he was in charge of red zone last year. Yeah. That's what the situation. Bucks are 29th in red zone offense so far this year, which I think is kind of funny. It was like, that was supposed to be his calling card, but I'm not knocking him. I kind of am, but I just think it is interesting how that side's going to go. I just keep insulting him. I'm like, man, I'm kind of like really dragging him. I have nothing against them. But anyways, let's get to the other side of the ball. How about that? Now we got the Seahawks offense going against a Bucks defense that, this is kind of interesting, because the Seahawks are going to try to run the ball. That's what a Kubiak Shanahan offense does. But going against a Bucs defense that's 4th in early down rushing success rate, one of the best defenses. They have Vita Vea. You're always going to be decent against the run with Vita Vea. And I think they're holding offenses to like a 30% rushing success rate on early down. So kind of that's what the Bucs are doing on their offense. So basically they're holding every other offense to the same, what their offense is doing on early downs. But the Bucs defense, 28th in dropback success rate on early downs. So how do you think the Seahawks team that's been explosive through the air, the run game's been a little average-ish at best, going against the Bucs defense, do you think they line up well? What else are you focusing on this?
I think that this game, in certain ways, lines up well for Seattle. like it's going to be tough to run the ball for sure. Like you said, anytime Vita Vea is out there, you can kind of kiss that goodbye. Like, he's really that good. And they play disciplined football up front, and with the, you know, this nuclear bomb in the middle of it, it's really difficult to run the ball on them. But they are, and I hate to say it's about a player as good as like Levante David is, and he might be out this week. So we'll see what happens. Or I think he was limited in practice, so maybe he'll be a little hampered. But they're kind of slow, like on the second level of their defense. And I was looking at some play action stats. They are about, like, when you put all the play action plays together, they're, you know, about middle of the pack in terms of defending it, but they're 31st in terms of yards after the catch per play action drop stat. Back at 9.5 yards, 9.2 yards after the catch on play action.
After actions, the catch?
Yes. Yeah. Which is
a first down bad. After the catch. Yeah,
yeah. A first down after the catch. Yeah. On play action. And they've also been horrendous against running back targets this year. So even if you're not like running the ball well this year, yeah, or you're kind of inconsistent rushing the ball, as Seattle's been, that's still kind of like always going to be the name of the game with Kenneth Walker, probably. Like, is he going to be inconsistent? But you hold on for some of those big plays. And the Bucs defense against running back targets this year, 44% of them have gone for a first down. It's about 0.5 EPA per target, 13 yards after the catch, 61% success rate. So this could be a big Kenneth Walker game from a pass catch perspective, yeah, if they can't get him going in the run game.
Yeah, I could see, like, it's a great stat always, because what this offense is built on, you're going to see plenty of play action. I was looking at some play action stats and I was like, oh, okay. But the Bucs defense was like kind of weak against them, but they let up some explosive plays. They're 25th in EPA per play. And that's even better with the running back stuff, because that makes total sense. It's because they do so much action and everything. If what they're betting on, what Todd Bowles and like Steve Spagnuolo with these heavy blitz defenses are betting on, the running back does not get out. That, yeah, we occupy the running back with this blitz look. So when it does get out, they're always like, oh, like, oh no, okay. And how good defenses overcome it, or like good personnel defense, is you have some speed. Okay, we can, right, give them an extra second. Okay, you get to, okay, I can rally. But that's a great kind of eye test, matching the stats and everything right now. Because I could see like a play action screen, you know, like one of those, yeah, like play action boot, and then the running back leaks out, the O-line leaks out, you know, I could see one of those hitting. The stat I had, I mentioned it earlier, but it's the Bucs defense, really good against the run, but not that good against the pass on early downs. So it kind of was like, this seemed kind of, all right, so how are the Seahawks going to go about it? Because they are going to always sprinkle in runs. They're always going to sprinkle in zone runs. That's kind of what they're going to do. But are they going to kind of lean more play action every single down, lean more just misdirection, trying to get them going side to side? And if you just even look at their stats, the Seahawks on early downs, they're 29th in yards per run on first and second down, 3.6 yards, but they're first and net yards per pass attempt, 9.5 yards. So if you're going against, mm-hmm, a defense that's bottom five against the pass on first and second down, but top five against the run, and you're the best passing team on first and second down, seems pretty easy what they're going to go for in this game, at least to me, watching the eye test and everything. Darnold's third in success rate on pass early downs. He's first in explosive pass rate on early downs and overall. I don't know. That does seem like yes, we're going to sprinkle in some runs, but we're going to go for some chunks on early downs and just try and live that way. And hopefully our defense keeps it tight on the other side. So I think we're both in agreement here. Like, the Seahawks actually kind of sort of match up well. Even if, yeah, I like a lot of the aspects of the Bucs defense, I like a lot of their young guys. It's kind of, Seahawks kind of have some answers there.
Yeah. As long as they don't like overcommit to the run game, I think they'll be able to.
Yeah.
To do some damage here.
Don't like be stubborn.
Jackson Smith and Jigba. I think this could be a big JSN Kenneth Walker game. It's kind of interesting. Like, when you look at I was looking at some of their play action stats for the Seahawks receivers. They don't get a whole lot of yak, which is, I don't think is surprising considering like the players they're consisted of. But Kenneth Walker is someone who's been getting obviously a fair amount of explosive plays on his receptions. So yeah, I think this could actually be a pretty big day for him, or at least like one big carry, one big reception.
No, I like that. And I got to give another shout, Jake Parrish, their slot. He should be pretty fun. So I want to see him get going in this game too. And I think the Seahawks kind of match up well, so it'll be fun. The final predictions for this game, Charles, Seahawks again are 3.5-point favorites at home.
I think Seattle gets this done. And I think they cover too. Yeah,
I do too. Yeah, I do too. I think they cover as well. I think they, yeah, I think they, this is going to be a good game, but I do think that they're catching them at the right time and they're feeling pretty good on their end as well. All right. That was a fun first Lost in the Sauce game. We are going to take our first break and come back with a couple more. See you guys in a sec. All right. We are back. We got an AFC, NFC tilt here. Commanders at the Chargers. Chargers are 2.5-point favorites. This is a late afternoon game, or just afternoon if you're on the West Coast, the best coast. Jane Daniels finally coming back after a couple weeks. So that's going to be very exciting. Having said that, wow, the Commanders are banged up. And that was another one of those surprises. And I'm glad I looked at kind of things before we started the show. I mean, pick a position group. They have somebody hurt. Torrence Armstrong got was sick, but they have Terry McLaurin. Looks like he's still going to miss. They're saying like a quad hip flexor injury. Who else we got? Mike Sanders still got a knee, did not participate. Deebo Samuel did not participate. Those are some significant guys for this team that I'm like, oh, all right, Jane Daniels is back, but Terry McLaurin is still out. Kind of like Terry McLaurin with Jaden Daniels going against the Chargers defense. They got Jackson darted, I guess, or so really weird. They're just got some bad field position throughout the game and just tried to survive and had a couple third down calls where Jesse Minter got a little too fancy against a rookie quarterback that didn't really look like he knew what he was seeing anyways. Like, it was one of those things. You don't have to get it done. Like, you don't have to do like this. The first third down look, sorry, I have to talk about this with Chargers defense. The first third down look against the Giants, maybe the second one, it was like super invert cover two. That's the best way I can put it. Guys were going every which crisscrossing, getting Dart doesn't know. He's just like, all right, who's that guy's opening right in front of me? All right, I'm throwing it to him. Like, so it's kind of one of those things. You don't have to disguise it that much. But going
just
against
drop a bomb on him, man. Just blitz him until he dies.
Or just drop eight. Like drop eight and just like make him actually dissect you. Like that's, I don't know. That it was a very funny game to rewatch because like, how'd you guys lose this? But Commanders. I haven't talked about it in a while. It was kind of like when I wanted to. Jane Daniels gets hurt, so I was kind of keeping them on pause. They're 2-2 going against the Chargers team. We've talked about a decent amount. Commanders have the ball. What are you focusing on this side of the ball?
Well, I think if you're the Chargers defense, you got to feel a little sick about how that quarterback run game went last weekend, right? Like you got to be throwing up just a little bit because Jackson Dart last week. On designed runs, he had 7 carries for 31 yards, like almost a 60% success rate. Man, they were pulling out, like, I think I saw them pull out, like, power read on, like, one of the first rides. So I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah. It's like,
what? Oh, this is had just 3 designed runs.
Right. I was just like, this is like, straight out of Gus Malzahn. Gus Malzahn's watching this, like, see, look, I can be an NFL OC. I was doing this 15 years ago with Cam Newton, and now they got Jackson Dart running the same stuff in this game against the Chargers. But, yeah, I'm not sure, like, how willing the Commanders would be to risk Jaden Daniels' health coming right off of an injury. But I think the Giants show like that is one way to kind of get after the Chargers defense, especially when you're banged up on the outside as the Giants were and as the Commanders are going into this weekend. So I still do think this will be a tough matchup. I kind of feel myself being conflicted on where I stand on the Commanders' offense. I know they had like a decent game last week, but it still looked a little bit disjointed against Atlanta. So I think this will be a tough matchup for them. And I think they kind of need to get Jaden Daniels going just to keep the heat off of their offense, because where you don't want to be against the Chargers is on third and long. And I know that they were playing against rookie quarterback who's coming from a Looney Tunes offense and has a lot of work to do as far as adjusting to the game. But they did just rack up 5 sacks on like 20 dropbacks last week. So that's probably something to keep an eye on if you're looking at keeping Jaden Daniels upright, but also having to be a consistent force in this game.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to rehash the scrambling stat again for the Chargers defense, but it's real. It's going to be real. Yeah. It's been 2 years now, and I've yet to be disproven that they're bad against scrambles, but it's also a compliment to what their defense does. But going against this team, I'm just curious what their game plan is going to be. I like watching Minter and figure out what he gets to. Like, what does he think with his study? So is there going to be a lot of quarters? Is it going to be a lot of cover two? Are you going to just say, hey, you don't have Terry, so we're going to run single high stuff? I'm just very curious. Derwin James looks amazing on this Chargers defense right now. It's really fun to watch him. He had, because the stat's relevant to the other side, so I was looking it up. He has the lowest success rate allowed on slot targets among any slot defender this year. And I think he's playing great against the run. But on the Commanders offense, Terry being out, it's just really curious because when Jane's in, he likes to pepper those routes on the outside. And this offense with Mariota did feel a little bit different. But I felt like more they're like, hey, we're going to try everything. I mean, you saw right. So many tight personnel formations for, you know, a bunch of six offensive linemen. John Bates is coming back. They're blocking tight end. Curious how they sprinkle him back in. But I'm actually, Debo being hurt is curious. He has the heel injury. They were having him do everything. They jet sweeps, vertical routes. They had him chip helping and running an underneath route on a play. Like, they're okay, we don't have Terry. Jaden's not here. Okay, Debo. Like, this is why we traded for you. Go, go, go. But these guys are all banged up. So I think it's a great point to bring up about how, okay, yeah, we can say the QB design run game. Daniel's just coming off an injury and he's still kind of iffy off that injury. Are we really going to like, go run 10 times? So just a lot of stuff that like, this is why it's tough sometimes is to be a coordinator. I mean, really tough. It's just, I'm curious what Kingsbury dials up. And I'm curious what Minter throws at him because he kind of does a little bit of everything as well. Last little Commanders offense thoughts. Josh Carnelly looks pretty good. Their first round pick. He's better in the run game, but he's coming along. It's Falcons defense caveat, but he did look pretty good in that game throughout it. I do want to say one more thing. My parting shot at Dart or about that game, I should say, is they will try to run the Looney Tunes college Ole Miss money play offense. Same formation, same everything. Y off, stack, all RPOs like crazy. They ran his Kiffin's favorite play that he used to run for Dart like 20 times in the game, which is play action, pull the guard, and then there's an over route by the tight end. They ran it three times, and the three results were a missed throw by 4 yards, a sack, and a scramble where he like just came off of it right away. But I was like, Dable's trying. He's trying to like make it, give him like this, like, here, okay, you're comfortable with this play, right? Three times it never went to the targeted guy that it was supposed to go to. Just thought that was kind of a funny aside about that game. This is more of a curiosity matchup for me. Like, just, all right, what are you Commanders with these banged up injuries? What is the Chargers game plan, Jesse Minter and all that? Because, they do a good job and they got some speed and they got some tough guys up front.
To my dear friends in the New York media, who I love you all very personally, could we get to 100 passing yards before we start writing the erotica? Is that too high of a bar to clear?
That was erotica. Some weird stuff. Exaggeration, man. There's some weird stuff going on in New York this past couple of days.
I'm going to get my people Giants in order, man.
I'm like tweeting about Chargers plays. I got Giants beat writers talking in my replies about the Chargers or Giants beat writers talking about the Chargers. I was like, what is going on in New York right now? You guys are feeling yourselves right now and feeling each other, apparently. So good. Other side of the ball. Chargers have the ball against this Commanders defense. So Chargers have no offensive linemen and the Commanders just kind of are defense indifferent. So what are your takeaways? What are you focusing on this side of the ball?
Yeah, I kind of came away with that's what I was thinking about when I started looking at this. And I was looking at, I started looking at some advanced stuff and I was like, I don't know. There's so many injuries. I don't know how interesting I find like all of the number analysis here. I just want to see Justin Herbert go out and do what he's supposed to do against a defense that is in this shape. Like last week wasn't his best game. Obviously he's put in some tough spots, against, an underrated Giants defense. I think it's going to really start, turning the corner soon, but yeah. So I think Herbert just kind of needs to go Superman here. The Commanders defense hasn't been good. They're 28th against the 28th in EPA per drop back on defense. It doesn't seem like they really have a whole lot of juice just like on the back end. I thought I was more interested in some of their cornerback play like coming into the season, but those guys have kind of been just okay. And like I know Bobby Wagner keeps making these Pro Bowls and getting ranked as like the number one linebacker in the league, but he's just not that guy. He hasn't been for several years at this point, but like even last year, man, like there were a lot of times where he was just a straight up like net negative for their defense. And I think that's continuing an even worse way this year. So like Justin Herbert, Ladd McConkey, you guys are simply better than the guys across from you. Go out and get it done. Like there's really no reason for me to believe that the Chargers offense will look as bad as it did last week, even though I still don't love the way that this thing is constructed. And obviously with the offensive line injuries, they're going to have to adjust, and we'll see if they do, you know, because it's Greg.
Yeah.
And they do what they want to do.
That's it. It's no, I know the Chargers O-line. So yeah, Alt's banged up. So you got Jamari Salier. I think I'm saying his name right, playing left tackle now. And he was right guard last week. So now it's Salier, Becton, backup right tackle, like Pipkins, a right tackle, like Bradley Bozeman, who is supposed to be their steady vet, is just like going the wrong direction at times. Just a mess up. That's why this offense has given up 50 something pressures in 2 weeks. And the Commanders, Dorrance Armstrong, even though he did not practice yesterday, did not participate, they're third in pressure rate this year, which kind of surprised me.
Yeah.
You know, they can heat you up a little bit. I think that's a little noisy going, you know, yeah, but it's not bad, outright bad. The thing is, coverage wise, man, and they can play the run a little bit. They got some size, but that's where Bobby Wagner can still do some stuff. But man, I agree with you, very rough in coverage. There's a snap against Kyle Pitts. He had a snap against Bijan. He didn't sort out the traffic. And then another one against Kyle Pitts, where he's stumbling, trying to cover Kyle Pitts. And I was like, oh no. Like just not a good play to put on tape. And I looked it up. Bobby Wagner is allowed 18.6 yards per target when he's been the closest defender in coverage. 186 yards on 10 targets. That's the most in the NFL among NFL linebackers. But the one little curiosity of this kind of defense is Mike Sainer still, who also did not participate in practice. I liked him coming out of college as kind of like he can be kind of a dynamo slot, but he's so smart. You can line up in a few spots. Last year, he starts in a slot, kind of iffy because of injuries and stuff, because of who they had. They bump him outside. He plays really well.
Yeah.
This year, back in the slot. Trey Amos, been very good. Mike Lattimore has been kind of up and down. He's had some nice moments. Sanger still, though, just not good in the slot. I don't know if it's kind of just he's not comfortable in it. I like the player still, but he is just now it's been extended years, I mean, or 2 years now when he's been in the slot. So among DBs at 100 plus coverage snaps, he's allowed the fourth highest success rate in the slot, second most EPA. He's allowing almost 12 yards per target, 14 catches on 19 targets for 227 yards. And I was watching it, and there's just times where London had him just kind of like beat him straight up. So it's not just like a bad luck kind of thing. So that's just a curiosity for me. I think that this Commanders defense, you know, with Frankie Louvu detonating guards when he comes up and Bobby Wagner still being able to play the run, they have some size. Kinlaw's actually been okay against the run as well. That, all right, the Chargers might run a little bit, but it's kind of that discussion you had about the Seahawks offense where it's like, might see some Hampton in space against these linebackers, might see some guys really working over the middle. Might see, you know, they have several guys that can do it, but you might see Ladd and or Keenan Allen going to work over the middle, where, you know, kind of use Quentin Johnson as more sacrificial this week. But even with that offensive line woes for the Chargers, which is going to be kind of kneecapping throughout this season, this isn't kind of the defense that I think will really like make them feel it as much as maybe that Giants front made them feel it last week.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm interested in, just to see, like, I guess if the Commanders can beat them up front enough to maybe muddy the game up front there. But I just think, like, when you got Herbert against where they've been on the back seven, that should still be a pretty big game for him. So we'll see what's going on. But the Commanders defense is weird. They're constructed weird. I'm really interested to see, I guess, like how they handle their future, especially on the defensive line. But it's been mixed bag so far.
Yeah, because this offseason was weird. Their free agency was weird to me. It still is, but yeah, I'm curious too because Herbert and these receivers have a big advantage. So it's going to be, as long as he stays upright, it's going to be a battle of 3 seconds. If he's upright for 3 seconds, I think he'll get rid of that ball and find some targets. All right, Chargers are 2.5-point favorites in L.A. Who are you taking, Chuck?
I'm going to take the Chargers. I think they get back on track this week, win and cover.
I'm also saying win and cover. I think even with O-line woes, I think they still got the horses on both sides to kind of do some things in this game. I think they're a good team. I mean,
yeah,
they can check the rock. I mean, honestly, if the O-line just got to give to like 20th with these injuries and they'll be fine, like, cause they just have so much else. We'll get on to our final game of Lost in the Sauce. Chiefs at Jags. Fun matchup. This is Monday Night Football. Jags are 3.5 point favorites. No, that's a lie. Chiefs are 3.5 point favorites on the road. Man, this is going to be, I'm kind of really curious about this one. But when the Chiefs have the ball going against this Jaguars defense, that has been one of the best defenses in the NFL so far, kind of carried by some turnovers, but there's been some very much realness to it. Trayvon Walker is now injured though, which must be stated because he's playing very well. What do you think? How do you think they match up against this Chiefs offense that kind of found its way a little bit last week?
Yeah, Trayvon Walker, he got surgery today, and I guess he's one of those dudes that's built different. Apparently, he's day-to-day, but it looks like he's going to be out this week.
After surgery.
I'm day-to-day. I'm day-to-day. I'll be all right. But that is a big that's a big loss for them, especially against the run. Because, man, like, he didn't play too many snaps this week against the 49ers, but Trayvon Walker versus Colton McKivitz in the run game was just, it was an abomination. Like, he destroyed, Colton McKivitz, like, by the way. Yeah, I every game I watch, I can't believe that. But he made him look like a tight end. Like, it was just ragdolling a tight end out there every single play against the run. So to not have that, like, collapsing one side of the offensive line and keeping you steady in terms of setting the edge, it's going to be tough. But still, the whole defense has been really good in terms of stopping the run. I think that they should give Kansas City still some fits as far as them trying to establish their running game goes. Kansas City is, you know, it's weird because they're 11th in EPA per rush, right? But when you kind of filter it out for first and second down, first, third, and fourth down, almost all of that positive production is coming on like third and fourth and short runs by Kareem Hunt. He's one of the worst running backs in the league on first and second down, but is doing just enough on third and fourth down where he has positive EPA numbers for the season. They're not explosive. It's kind of like the same thing as last year. However, Jacksonville on the other side, first in rushing success rate, first in 10 yards, rushes that go for 10 yards or more, first explosive rush rate, second and first downs per rush, fourth in yards per yards after contact per rush. So this has been a defense just kind of beating teams up front. And I think even without Trayvon Walker, they can give Kansas City a game up front, kind of put the ball in the hands of Patrick Mahomes more, which is going to be tough because he is Patrick Mahomes and he's been awesome this year. And we saw last week that he can still take advantage of some good situations. But I still think that Jacksonville's defense gives them some problems up front and kind of makes Mahomes have to play a little bit more hero ball than he did last week against Baltimore.
Yeah, the Jags defense, they're playing confident. Like Devin Lloyd, like, looks like a totally different player than he's looked like.
I don't know what happened to him, man.
It's insane. Even outside the turnover plays, it's just other plays I'm talking about too. It's like,
yeah,
he's in the game better. Like, the calls are going right. Like, you can just see everything kind of clicking for him. It's kind of cool. I mentioned Jordan Lewis, who's playing truly, and I'm not even doing a bit here, playing like a pro bowler this year. They have these guys that are actually just making, everyone's just kind of making a play. I haven't even mentioned their number two overall pick. that's how good these other guys are kind of playing. Yes, it's been turnover dependent, but there's more real to it. Like, I just think that these guys are just playing fast and not making the mistakes that have killed them in the past. And going against the Chiefs team, they're trying to get Rashad Smith more touches, a little bit more team speed there. Going against they got Xavier Worthy back, and you felt it. You actually finally saw some explosive passes connecting, which is what this offense needs. It's just kind of one of these things where both teams prove it, do it again, do it for another week. I feel much better about where the Chiefs are at. Again, I got to kind of reiterate, I wrote about the Chiefs, Ravens, and Texans last week. And after I reviewed them all, I'm like, of these three, Chiefs are the ones that are going to figure it out. It's not just because of the past, but it's like just the bones they had and what they do have and what's going to come. But it was nice to at least see going against the Jags team. Just curious what they cook up. They're at home. It's going to be kind of a could be a statement game for them that they've arrived, but they've kind of shot themselves in the foot when they've had these moments before. I'm just trying to think.
A little bit.
I think, yeah, just a little bit. That Bengals game from 2 years ago is just burning in my brain. But I think the Chiefs rookies, Josh Simmons has been playing well. Kingsley Suamataia has stacked together his two best weeks as a pro, back-to-back weeks. So like that's coming together. It's like, man, can you just get some juice in your run game? I think that would just make everything feel so much better.
Do because something,
I
think the passing game's
getting there. I know.
I don't get how they ran this running back room just right back. Like, come on now.
They love their own narratives. Oh, we found the seventh round, Isaiah Pacheco, and that's our guy because he was the Super Bowl runner, most rushing yards in that game. And it's like, you gotta realize what else you had that made that happen. I know you don't have to say like draft a running back. I know you drafted CEH in the first round. Can you imagine Jonathan Taylor in this offense? But I get all that stuff. But like, third round's fine, fourth round's fine. Like, you can take a guy. You don't need Kareem Hunt coming back. Like, there's zero reason Kareem Hunt has to be on this roster. There's zero reason, zero possible argument for it. So hopefully Breshard Smith gives him a little bit because that's what this team needs desperately. But I am seeing the passing game get sorted out a little bit. There's some good science happening with the Chiefs offense. This will be a fun one. All right, moving on to the other side of the ball. Jags-o, Chiefs defense. What do you think about this one?
If I'm Jacksonville, I am going to play this game like as big as possible and just mash it down their throats. Because I still think that, you know, we talk about Kansas City's defensive backs and certainly they need an infusion of talent there. I mocked them a cornerback in our mock draft this week in the first round, but I still don't love, like, I guess the idea of like where this Jaguars passing game is, and it's still a little discombobulated, as you know, as BTJ and Travis Hunter and Trevor try to all get on the same page. I don't think you want those guys like dropping back a ton versus bags, even with the Chiefs defense in that personnel state. Just because that's a tough kind of game plan for. So I would just try to keep us ahead of the sticks as much as possible. And I found some interesting stats from their 12 personnel runs for Kansas City's defense and Jacksonville's offense. So Jacksonville has run the 11th most runs out of 12 personnel, 37 runs. We've got 249 yards, two touchdowns, 6.7 yards per carry, 50% success rate. And they're averaging 0.24 EPA per rush on those plays. So it's not even just like one big rush. It's like you're getting big chunks, like kind of consistently, you know, you see 50% success rate, like you're doing something well. And on the flip side, Kansas City has been absolutely awful when teams go big and run against them. They're giving up 41 carries for 231 yards, three touchdowns, 5.6 yards per carry, 55% success rate, and 0.23 EPA per carry. So I think if you're going to keep the heat off of Trevor Lawrence in this game, you should just keep handing the ball off to the much new and improved Travis Etienne and an offensive line that's a lot more competent than it was last year, and just try to mash them off their spot and keep yourself in, you know, those third and short situations.
You nailed it. That's exactly what I'm looking at too. Keep Spags simple. So go heavy, which means two tight ends, because even if you don't have like the brilliest tight ends, Spags will match. Like, that's just what he does. Yeah. He'll match with base, I mean, with his base personnel. And I looked at the exact same stats. I went two or fewer receivers just to kind of cover it all. Same exact thing, though. They're first in rushing success rate. They're third overall in success rate. Third in yards per run. Like, all that stuff. And then, the Chiefs defense, this is what the Ravens were kind of getting at, but then just the game script got away from them. Yeah, but they're 31st in rushing success rate allowed on early downs against two or fewer receivers. Just like, I always talk about natural answers. That's as natural as it gets. We do this and they're bad against this. Do it. Like that. That's very easy. And I keep complimenting Liam Cohen and what their offense is doing, just the whole offensive staff. The run game, the offensive line for the Jags, like, I keep reiterating this, and I sound such like a hater. It's not good, but it's so improved and it's sound, and they use the right runs for it. And one of those is a lot of side-to-side stuff. A lot of, you know, if we are running up the middle, we'll have a puller as opposed to just duo and just try and burl it up. They did do a little duo against the 49ers last week, which is pretty good. But going against Chris Jones, you want Chris Jones moving side to side. You don't want Chris Jones teeing off on your guys. Chris Jones has been unblockable in the run game this year. Like, actually, I know I just mentioned these run stats, but it's because other stuff's happening. But he's right. just truly one-on-one. He wins. And so, okay, we know that. We have a lot of team speed. We have ETN. We have Tootin. All right, let's go side to side. Let's go side to side. Let's get these guys running left to right. Let's get these big, burly linebackers running left to right. Let's throw out of this with Brent Strange against these linebackers, these running backs against these linebackers. Again, natural answers that make sense. I will say that the one thing that is curious to me is Spags, he kind of, this isn't like a true, true Shanahan offense, but like he kind of tees off on Shanahan offenses because those condensed splits, that's where he can do some funky corner blitz looks and everything. So that's what you're hoping is, or if we get him in base, the blitzing won't be as exotic, that won't be as crazy. But if you get those tight splits with receivers, that's where a corner comes. That's where something crazy comes at the snap of the ball. And the Jags use condensed splits at the condensed formations at the sixth highest rate in the NFL. So that's like one little thing I'm kind of curious on, because he's kind of had that number on zone teams and outside and those condensed split types of teams. But I do think the Jags are kind of, they're pretty well coached right now. I know they have a ton of penalties, but that's because they're trying to do so much motion, trying to do so much cadence stuff, trying to do so much communication. And that's in a good way that I think it gets sorted out. But man, the scheme makes sense. The concepts make sense. Brian Thomas Jr., all right, you don't want to run over the middle? All right, we're running nothing but out routes. That's all we're targeting for you is out route, because you're not going to run over the middle. That's just good coaching. We're going to not make you do something you're not going to do. And then the last thing too is kind of I'm very curious to see how Trevor Lawrence does against the blitz as well. Like, I do think one of the strengths of this game is he does read the game well. Sometimes he assumes some things and gets caught. So like going against the Texans, like when they brought blitzes, I bring up that play to Brian Thomas Jr. that kind of sealed the game for him, checked into a look, fully changed the protection against cover zero. Maybe get to see a couple of that where you get to see his communication, see him get rid of the ball, which is why he throws to his first read all the time, whatever that stupid stat is. It's because he knows where to go with the ball. It's a good thing. It's a good thing, which is so infuriating for me. Fun little styles makes fights battle here. Chiefs defense, Spags knows he kind of really doesn't have the horses, so he's getting really funky with his pressure looks, like really funky, which is kind of fun to rewatch. So curious to see kind of how both teams answer the bell here. Pretty fun matchup. I know. Chiefs are 3.5-point favorites on the road in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
You're going to sweet home Alabama after the third quarter? You think you're going to survive that, Kansas City Chiefs?
I think
I might be the only national guy that actually knows that.
I think the Chiefs win, but the Jaguars cover. Get some fourth quarter, like last drive dramatics that end in a field goal for the Chiefs to get you under the cover, but still win.
I'm copying it all the way here. We're unlocked. I do think that this would be a good game. I think both teams are going to be in it the whole time. I think the Chiefs do pull it out in the end, but I like where the Jags are at. I wish Walker was playing. That would make me a little bit more, I'm going to bet on this. I know Walker isn't going to be like a 5-point swing on a play, but he does matter in this type of matchup. So, I'm really curious. The Jags have some speed and they're doing some cool things, but I do think that the Chiefs they found their way last week. I know the Ravens are a bit of a mouthwash team right now, but I do think that they were doing some good things on review. Now taking our final break, we'll be back with a special edition of the Haas Fight. I'll put it at that. See you guys in a sec. We are back. Let's get into a very rare edition of the reverse Haas Fight. All right. A Haas Fight is when you highlight a best good-on-good unit matchup, usually O-line, D-line, getting burly, really good run team versus a really good run defense. We did Lions-Browns last week. This is the exact opposite of that. I could have just easily done, Bills O-line, Patriots defense. But no, we're doing Sunday Night Football, Patriots offensive line versus the Bills defensive line in a reverse Haas Fight. This is the game that the Bills are 8-point favorites, has all the makings of a shootout upon review, or upon preview, I should say, looking into it. But Charles, reverse Haas Fight. We'll start, we'll go on the Patriots versus the Bills defense. What do you got for me?
I mean, Drake May just having such a crazy good season. And I think that, like you said, this is just kind of a situation for him to have another showcase and put his talents on display. He's taken a level up from even where he was last year in terms of just like his efficiency, like their first in dropback success rate, which I don't think anyone saw coming into the year, just based on, you know, their surrounding cast and, you know, the kind of the, I guess, the recent backgrounds of some of the people they hired this offseason. So for them to be that good, just in terms of being able to throw the ball and getting the most out of the dropbacks, is pretty good because the run game stinks. Yeah, they fumble the ball. They don't run the ball well in general. So it's going to probably be another game where Drake May is going to have to do a lot, but that's okay because he has emerged as a quarterback that can do a lot for the Patriots offense and against the Bills defense. That's, you know, they're not quite as bad as they were to end last season where they were giving up like 40 a game, but they're definitely still gettable. And I think that May has a talent to take advantage of them.
Yeah. So even before I get into May and Allen, Drake May and Josh Allen, and what I think, I mean, that could have been the Haas fight because I think these two are going to be able to game these defenses up a little bit. I'm like, all right, how could the Patriots, you know, pull off an upset here? You know, like they're 8-point underdogs. I know May can hang in there. All right, Bills run defense, it's been pretty weak, especially with Matt Milano been injured, you know, Ed Oliver's missed time. So I did the exact same stat that I looked up in the last game, and not just kind of like continue to bid. I was not being lazy here. This is all coming off film study, and then I look at the stats usually. Bills run defense gets two or fewer receiver looks on early downs. This is 75 total plays. It's not like a total small sample size here. They are 32nd in yards per rush allowed. They allow 7.2 yards per carry on first and second down against two or fewer receivers, 12 personnel, 21 personnel, et cetera. 7.2 yards per play, which is also 32nd. They have a 9.8% stuff rate, which is gains of 0 yards. That's 31st. They have zero sacks against these looks. 27th of rushing success rate, if you're more into that. They are 30th in EPA per run allowed, 31st in EPA per play allowed. They allow explosive plays. Remember, 75 plays here. They allow an explosive gain on 21% of those plays, which is like double what you want as a team. 21% of the runs that they face in these looks have gone for an explosive run. They faced 49 design runs. 10 of those have gone to be an explosive run for against this team. So what has been so curious to me is the last 3 years, the Bills would just go, no matter what you get in, we are getting in the nickel. Teron Johnson, our slot, is a starting player for us, and we're just going to live with it and figure out looks that work from it. And this year, even with Matt Milano hurt, at first I thought this was because of who they played. I thought because Johnson was banged up, they did this. On early downs, when they face these looks, these two or fewer receiver looks, from 22 to 24, 2022 to 2024, I know I'm saying a lot of numbers here, stick with me. Nickel, the Bills match with nickel 90% of the time, and they match base 9% of the time. This year, they're matching nickel 41% of the time, and base 59% of the time. So I'm just trying to figure out why. This is the one that brought you here. Why are you switching this up? Because you suck out of it. Like, that's what I'm not getting. It's like, you have Johnson. He's healthy now. Play him. Like, play Johnson. Like, what are you guys doing? And so I'm like, oh, here it is. Patriots got the angle here. Patriots suck running the ball. They're terrible running the ball. They're on these looks, two or fewer receivers, they're 29th in rushing success rate on early downs. 29% rushing success rate. Remember these bad defenses and bad run games we're talking about and good run defense? They are 11th, though, in passing success rate. So that's because Drake May has been a baller and been very accurate throwing underneath in these looks. Just something I'm curious. It's a – would you actually texted this. Wasn't it coughing baby versus coughing baby? That's what this run offense versus this run defense feels like.
Yeah, I think I said that in reference to Houston offense versus Baltimore defense, but it also applies to this too. Yeah.
That was a coughing infant versus coughing infant. Yeah, definitely all the way. I just was trying to pull a thread here. I think May is going to get plenty of underneath stuff because that's what the Bills defense is. They want to squeeze. They want to make an anaconda defense tight, tight, tight over time, make you make a mistake. So, but maybe the run game gets going for the Patriots. They're going to try. And I even looked, like, the Bills defense, they're terrible against duo. second highest success rate allowed against duo, because that's that physical at you run. You could take care of bad safeties, bad linebackers, or iffy safeties and linebackers. You can take advantage of it. Patriots, 31st in rushing success rate on duo runs. They average 3 yards per carry on duo runs, and they run it at the seventh highest rate. So I'm like, I'm trying to help you guys here. Can you at least do it? Because I think you actually have an advantage here.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun game.
That was my reverse hot fight. That was all an excuse to talk about that, how frustrated I was trying to find like an angle for him. But really, it just comes down to Drake May's got to play very well, not make a mistake. And I think the other side of the ball, I do think the Bills offense has a whole bunch of advantages any way, shape, or form. James Cook and Robert Spillane could turn into to fireworks. James Cook, and run game.
What a player. He's turned to a great running back.
He's good in protection now. He's good between the tackles now. He's patient now. Like,
I thought he was going to be like a little receiver scat back coming into the league, because at Georgia, like, they had him running 9 routes and catching the ball on the outside. Yeah. And now he's a huge, like, in between the tackles power runner. It's kind of cool.
I'm going to give Kelly Skipper a running backs coach. He's been the Bills running backs coach since 2017 when McDermott got there, giving him the shout out. Wow. Yeah. He's been around forever. He's been in the NFL forever. But yeah, got to give him a shout out, because they are very well coached. Like, even how Ray Davis and Cook, like, they love running zone runs, right? And they cut back and they time it well. They know which gaps they're looking at. You can tell they're keying the linebacker, even running backs have keys they have to read. I know people just think it's vibing out there, like, you know, the kids in Little League are. It's like, no, they actually have keys on these run plays. They read it all properly. So yeah, that's a good shout out. Also, that duo stat. Patriots defense are the worst. I said the Bills defense were worst against duo. The Patriots defense is the worst against duo, and the Bills run duo. So get ready for some Jackson Hawes reps, some Reggie Gilliam reps running duo right down the pipe on the Patriots defense. Predictions on this game? Bills are 8-point favorites.
I think they win the cover. I think they win the cover. I just don't see how the Patriots defense is really going to slow them down.
They're definitely winning, I think, but I do think the Patriots cover. I'll give that one in there. It's 8, so maybe just lose by a touchdown or something. I do think there's going to be some fireworks in this game. I'm actually pretty excited to watch it. I'm excited to watch all these games, let's be honest. But now we're going to close out the show. It's time for some Hail Marys. Hail Marys is where we throw up a prayer of a prediction. I got on the board finally last week. I picked that the Jags would just upset straight up the 49ers as 3.5-point underdogs. Charles came close, actually. He had Hanley getting a strip on Jackson Dart. And there was a play. It was one of those design runs we talked about. Dart gets stuffed and he's looking to like make a little second move. And there he comes. Hanley comes in with a big peanut punch and he just misses it. And I rewatched, when I didn't see it real time, but I watched it back on film. And I was like, oh my God, Charles came so close. To exactly what he said.
Yeah, we got 5 sacks, couldn't get 1 fumble, guys. Come on, Chargers. Come on.
No. All the sacks were on Dart, too. Also, yeah. But, anyways, Hail Mary this week, Charles. What do you got?
Okay. It's, I don't know how crazy this sounds. Maybe it is crazy because I have conflicted feelings about their offense, but I have the Jets rushing for over 200 yards against the Dallas Cowboys this weekend. That's my Hail Mary.
Literally had the exact same one. And I kid you not. I just did a show with Sheil Kapadia from The Ringer, and I said it on that show. So there's proof. I literally almost picked this one as my Hail Mary. So that is...
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
any reasons why you're getting into this one? I think I see the angle.
I mean, this just seems... first of all, I should say the Cowboys rush defense, their numbers have been a little bit better than I expected this season. Like, they're in terms of like down to down, they're like middle of the pack, but they can get gutted and gashed when, you know, they still got a pretty small front seven. When some of those bigger bodies get to the second level, it can get pretty ugly pretty quick. So I can see maybe the Jets getting stuffed a few times, but they're just so built to rip off like these explosive runs on the ground and take advantage of some of these lighter defenses. So the Jets, they're second in the league in explosive rush rate at 12.2%. And they are fifth in the league in first downs per rush at 26.7%. So I think that there's going to be room for either Fields or Breece Hall to rip off some runs. So I'm pretty sure Braylon Allen is out this week.
Yeah, he's right? on IR.
Yeah, he's on MCL IR.
Sprint, so he'll be back this season, though. So.
Yeah, so you got Justin Fields and Breece Hall against a defense that is small behind a big offensive line. I think that there are going to be a handful of big runs and they get over 200 rushing yards for the game.
I love it. No, that you're exactly the same angle, tapping the nose, Principal Skinner style, all that. It's yeah, they're for early down, the stat I even looked for, the early downs. Do you actually, the Jets actually have the highest success rate on early downs throwing the ball, which is kind of crazy. But most explosive runs, like you said, they have 14 explosive runs on early downs, highest explosive run rate. Some of those are scrambles, but that's part of your stat because that's part of this offense. I meant to mention this with the Bills Patriots game, like mentioning looking Drake May using his legs too, like Joey Bosa. And this is always, it's actually a Bosa brothers thing. It's both of them. They take the bait. They take the cheese on QB read game. Like they, if you fake it, they are running down after the running back and trying to make a play. And Justin Fields, when the Jets played the Bills a couple of weeks ago, he got him a couple of times. And on top of it, he got him a few more times. The Saints, this speed option at him. The Saints did a GT counter read a couple times at him, which is where you pull the guys. You got the little jet sweep going across. But yeah, I don't know. I that was one thing I wanted to mention because when I was watching back that game, Fields got him a couple times. So look for a Joey Bosa QB read play on that. That's not my Hail Mary, but I want to add on to this one. but yeah, no, I like this one a lot. Everything you said, I don't think the Cowboys defense is very good or very big. But and then Membau, right tackle, is looking like a star already for the Jets. And that little line's pretty good. All right, mine. I'm glad I didn't do that one now, even though it would have been fun. I have the Browns straight up winning against the Vikings in England with a rookie quarterback.
Oh, God. Going against that's Brian a London Flores. Game?
Yeah, I'm just totally going against the grain here. Everything in my everything is telling me no, because I'm going to start with some Brian Flores against rookie QB stats. In four games, I'll start with the Vikings version. In the four games he's gone against rookie quarterbacks as the Vikings defensive coordinator, which was against Bryce Young, Aiden O'Connell, and two games against Caleb Williams. Quarterbacks are minus 0.19 EPA per dropback. So 0.20 is about MVP quality. So he's reverse. It's like reverse house fight, reverse MVP. 35% total success rate, 36% passing success rate, 6% explosive play rate, 11 points per game, 4.3 yards per play, 26% third down conversion rate, sack rate. They average about 3.5 sacks a game. That is everything that's just say, oh, Vikings will get them, Vikings will get them, Vikings will get them, Vikings will get them. Going against this Browns defense, though, you know, Vikings offense, you know, just a little Carson Wentz pressure. Now you got Kelly out, Donovan Jackson's out. Going against this Browns defense, I don't know, might get a little messy. Might get a little messy in London for old Carson. And looking at the Vikings defense, really good against the pass. I believe they are, they're first in passing success rate, DVOA. So again, why am I picking the Browns here? 27th in rushing DVOA. And you know, the Browns run game hasn't been great. I get that. But we get some more Quinshon Judkins. Maybe he's Gabriel's legs kind of open up some things too. I like Judkins a lot.
He's been good.
On field. Just player.
That's right.
Can we clarify? I don't know. I just think that they can make this messy. It's an overseas game. I know the Vikings have been there for a couple of weeks now, but that might go against them a little bit as well. But I just think that this Browns defense can make every game messy. And I think they actually match up against a Vikings team with has Carson Wentz dropping back and has a couple of line injuries. So Browns win outright against one of my preseason playoff teams, the Vikings. I did not expect them to be starting Carson Wentz, though. So I will give myself some grace there. Any thoughts on that, or am I just a total loon?
No, I think this is possible. And I think there's a chance that Carson Wentz takes one of those like Looney Tunes level hits that he's capable of doing when he's being oblivious to the pass rush. Like, I don't know. There is a Carson Wentz car crash in this game somewhere that will get splashed all over social media.
You know, you see like a football movie where it's the montage of the quarterback getting lit up a bunch because they're showing that they're losing. Like, I'm picturing the Varsity Blues. And there's like a scene at the end of it, James Vanderbeek's taking off his helmet, like as he's getting up and street. Like, Wentz, every time he gets hit, looks like one of those highlight reel slow motion like plays, because he holds onto the ball forever. So these guys get a full head of steam as he's oblivious, pump faking and looking around. Multiple people share this play. He takes a sack on a play in the red zone. It's against man. It's against two man. And the Vikings run a perfect little pick play, and it gets Justin Jefferson wide open over the middle of the field. And it was like, I know that play was designed to get Justin Jefferson the ball over the middle of the field. And he's wide open. There's no one near him. And Wentz goes, pump. Yeah, no. And then he turns, and there's a guy full head of steam, just lights him up in the chest. And it's like, oh, there you are, Carson Wentz. That's exactly how you
play. Loves it, man. He can't quit it. He can't quit it. He loves getting wrecked, man.
Oh man, God, it's how he was. Even his MVP run, like before he got hurt that year,
because
he just took so many hits. It was like, never forget that. Just shot after shot, and I was like, just get rid of the ball, man. All right, anyways, any college games you checking out this weekend before we get out of here? I got the Mariners Saturday night.
I mean, Miami FSU Guardians or
Tigers.
If we got Miami versus FSU, but honestly, college football, this is looking like a pretty. This is looking like a go take care of your family weekend for college football. Maybe Alabama, Vanderbilt, and Texas, Florida.
Oh, yeah, okay, maybe I'll be watching. Game.
Yeah,
we got Indiana, Oregon.
Is that this weekend? I thought that was next weekend.
Is that next weekend? I don't know.
I don't see it on the schedule here.
Yep, that's next weekend. God, even have that one.
Yeah. Penn State is traveling to UCLA, and I do want to say this. I don't think that. Let UCLA their season have ended last week with that loss to Northwestern. Do we really need UCLA to play Penn State and Ohio State? Like, is that safe? Like, let's think about the kids here, Big Ten Conference. They're outmatched. They lost to New Mexico by like 30 points in a game that should have been closer to 50 points if you watched it. So let's just cancel season now. No more Penn State games, no more Ohio State games, and just go focus on basketball.
Love that. Retire the Rose Bowl.
Retire the program, man. Force Nico retire to go make Rose another Bowl. Good Charles decision McDowell. Because, yeah, we're under, let other teams use it, but they have lost the right to use it for sure. They don't care.
As a Wisconsin Badgers alum, I'm kind of getting the whole is it basketball season vibes going on right now. So, and they're going at Michigan, so that'll be really fun to watch. But yeah, make sure check out all of that. Check out our mock draft as well this week up on Yahoo Sports. Also, check out the Mariners playing in the playoffs. Yeah, make sure you check that one out. I don't have my gear on. The hat's over here, though. I know Stone's probably got some gear on, but we're closing it out today. Charles and I will be back Sunday live right before Sunday night football after the late afternoon games wrap up, reacting to week 5 and all the good stuff with highs and lows, maybe some extra credit if we want to shoehorn some stuff in. Make sure you come hang out, though. That's been a lot of fun. Thank you for all everybody that's been joining us there. I'm Nate Tice. That's Charles McDonald. You can find him at Forverts. You can find me at Nate_Tice. Subscribe to us here at Football 301, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us, rate us 5 stars, pretty please. Watch us on YouTube on the Yahoo Sports YouTube channel. That's where you can check out that live show. Thanks to Stone, Austin, and Madison behind the scenes for making us look and sound good. Thank you all for listening. See you guys next time.